Good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome you to chapel. It is our honor as a committee to be hosting chapel today, and we want you to relax, enjoy. We hope this worship will be a blessing and an encouragement to everyone that's here. We're going to be talking, of course, about the Lord Jesus Christ and specifically our service to Him. I heard a good story that I want to pass along as we start, a little on the humor side. There were two guys that, well, they passed on to the next life about the same time. They're waiting outside the gates of heaven to get in, and there's a little fanfare. They're in line, and as each person is announced, there's different ceremonies to welcome them to heaven. Well, it happens that one of the guys is a taxi driver. He spent his whole life driving a taxi in New York City. The other is a pastor, faithful pastor for 40 years, faithfully pastoring where God had put him. Well, the taxi driver happens to be right in front of the pastor, and his name is announced. He's welcomed into heaven with great fanfare, trumpets playing. They give him a gorgeous robe, a golden scepter. Welcome to heaven. We're so glad you're here. Well, the pastor can't wait for his name to be called. He thinks, wow, you know, what a welcome he got. I can't imagine what they're going to do for me. Well, the pastor's name is called. He steps into heaven. They give him a very simple cotton white robe, just a piece of rope to tie it, and they hand him a wooden staff. Not much fanfare, no trumpets are playing. He's rather mystified, trying to fight the urge, but finally he gives in. He goes over to Peter and he says, Pete, he said, I just don't understand. You know, I spent my whole life serving God, and the taxi driver, all this fanfare? Can you somehow make sense of this for me? St. Peter said, oh, that's easy. You see, he spent his life driving. You spent your life preaching. When you were preaching, folks were sleeping. When he was driving, folks were praying. It ought to make perfect sense. So sometimes our service isn't what we think, and maybe in heaven things will be revealed that are a little different than what we can imagine. I hope today maybe some of that comes more clear through the scripture that we share. May we open in a time of centering prayer. Would you gather your hearts with mine? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning in this sacred space, we want our hearts to be open to your work. We ask that you'd calm our hearts before you. And once again, we might realize the awesomeness of the God we serve. We pray that you'd bless in the folks who will participate in the service. Bless the work and the labor that has gone into this. That we might remember our parts and we may glorify you through our service to these who have gathered this morning. But truly, most importantly, we'd ask that your presence would be real to us. We know you have promised to be with us. You said in your word, where two or three are gathered in thy name, you're in the midst. But we're asking that we might have a special awareness of your presence, that every heart might be stirred, that truly as we evaluate our own service to thee, we might be tender to thy leading through the Holy Spirit, that we might be led to greater usefulness in the days that are coming. We pray your blessings upon each part of the service. We pray that you'd bless each heart. We ask that you'd bless each life. We realize that we come with different cares from different areas of life. And as we give you those cares and we lay them at your feet, I pray we might accept your peace and we also might focus upon this service, that we might receive the blessing you have already ordained for each and every life. We pray these things in Christ's blessed name. Amen. Andrew's going to come and lead us in some songs. Hope you'll join us in worship.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. We'll be reading verses 14 down through verse number 30. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Again, Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, in harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest from it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Amen.
So, how many times have we all been in situations where we've had questions like this ourselves? Where we've wondered what we're going to do. A question that may come up to in our own lives is, you know, what am I going to do with what I've been given? Whether it was a job or ministry or just working anywhere. What am I going to do? I want to look at this contrast that we find in this story that Jesus tells in this parable. You see, there was a man that was given 5 bags of silver, and he shows himself to be very industrious, immediately going into action. He goes and runs right into investing and doing everything he needs to where he gains 5 more bags of silver. The result of this is that he's given more things to do, more responsibilities. That master, he says, that you were given little and you made much. And I'm proud of you. And because of that, we're going to celebrate together, he says. And he even gets greater rewards because in the end he gets that other bag of silver from the one who did not do much, from the other servant. And we look at this other servant and we know that this other servant was given a bag of silver. But that servant was afraid. That servant was fearful and felt like it would be unproductive. So he wanted to do something with that money so he wouldn't lose it. So he went and he buried it. He hid it. Hid it away. Kept it safe. The result for him was to bring it back. He received condemnation. He was condemned for what he did. And he was cast out into that outer darkness, that weeping and gnashing of teeth, that place we don't want to go. We can see that that servant has a very human reaction, one that we all might have some point in our life, one that we commonly put on when we put on our face of maybe uncertainty or uncomfortable situations. We might feel this way of just wanting to hide our gift. I happen to be in Old Testament this semester, and so in looking at this, I thought about Moses and Moses' reaction. You see, when God called Moses to bring his people out of Egypt, this man who was bold enough to rise up and kill an Egyptian because of how that Egyptian mistreated the Israelites, this same man was timid when it came time to play that role in the mission and the calling of God to draw his people out. But in the end, look what God did. And look how God used him. You see, I firmly believe that if Moses would not have done what he did, if he wanted to remain that desert shepherd for the rest of his life, he could have. He could have. But eventually God would have found someone, would have raised up someone outside of Moses, like a Joshua. And if he would have refused, then he would have found someone else to do this. In fact, you know, God doesn't consider any one of us indispensable. We all have a plan. He has a plan. So when God has a job for us and we pretend or we wish we knew better than he does, we all make excuses. We all make excuses to the world. We all try to justify why our particular ability isn't really worth offering to God or in service or maybe to other people. But in the end, what we have are excuses why we don't use our gifts. I see in this servant's reaction a false understanding of the nature of God. In fact, his whole answer when the master returns isn't really an answer at all. It's more of an accusation or excuses. That master deserved, was looking for the best, was looking for no errors, was looking for things to be done just right. He had high standards. He wasn't looking for carelessness. A lot of us feel that way, although. Many of us don't even realize that we think everybody's looking for something more than what we have. I remember a remark by a coworker one time. I'd started a new job and never really talked to this man before. And his way of introducing himself to me was to come up and to say, you know, God is really cruel. And I said, really? Why is that? He said, well, it says in the Bible that he punishes the sins of the father upon his children unto like the third generation, he said. And he goes, it seems cruel that he does this. How did that person deserve what his father may have done or his father's father had done? Well, I really didn't know how to respond. You see, I was at that time a newbie Christian. I was just learning about Christ. I was familiar with that story that he talked about, but I really wasn't familiar with how to respond to it, what was happening around it. You know, since that time, I have met many many more people that have familiar responses or familiar reasons and even far stranger ideas of what we find in the Bible. Just as common as a lot of those ideas are some of the ideas that we have about ourselves, that we have about our possessions and about our gifts that God has given us. You see, in this parable, there's the servant clearly understands that this money, this bag of silver, did not belong to him, but yet he was responsible for what happened to it. Many people feel that their time, their talents, their possessions are for their own control, for their own enjoyment, not for the enjoyment and work of others. But the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, you are not your own. He says, you were bought at a price. There's nothing that is your own. Now, there's a lot more that we could say about this parable, a lot more observations we can pull out of it, but I want to break this down to just some basic principles. First, we're all given something. We are all given something, some kind of gift or talent, something that can be used by God. There's no such thing in God's kingdom as, I just don't have anything to give. Some of us might hear people say that. I don't have a talent, so why am I here? Some of us think we don't have anything. And it reminds me of Sherry's aunt. Sherry's aunt said she didn't have any talents, no gifts to speak of. She didn't have a talent of singing or playing a musical instrument or standing up and reading scripture. But she had 6 kids. And with 6 kids, she did have a talent she didn't realize. She could cook, and she could cook really well. So she would make food for fellowship meals, and she would make cakes. That was her favorite thing to make. And she quickly became that person that everybody knew, the cake maker, the one who would make the best cakes in the church. So when it was discovered that the church that they were in, because of some structural issues, was going to have to be torn down and rebuilt, they started looking for ways to raise money. And they were asking people to donate and asking people to do things. And Sherry's aunt said, well, I don't know what I can do. There's nothing I can do. And then she started thinking about all the people that took her cakes and wanted her cake every time they would have a fellowship meal. And she said, you know what? I'm going to bake cakes. And I'm going to sell them. And she announced to the church that she was going to break cakes and sell them, and all the money would go towards this project. Well, before it was over with, before the church was ever built, her cakes brought in about $1,500 towards this project. This woman who thought she had nothing to give was able to bake a cake and sell cakes to help the church. We are all here in seminary, not learning to bake cakes. We're learning to grow. We're learning to discover new things about ourselves. We're learning to discover our gifts for ministry, how we can use them and better use them. That's what we're here to do, to learn about our gifts. You know, the other part that we learn in this parable is that we're not all given the same gift. We're not all given the same talent. Again, when we look at the Apostle Paul, he says, the Holy Spirit distributes to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. But look at what we often do. We wish we had someone else's gift or talent. We wish we had someone else's abilities. Sometimes I wish there were talents I had, and I don't have them. My nephew Ray, for instance, he is a very talented fly fisherman. And bless his heart, he picked it up immediately and he became very passionate about it. It's a sport that he loves to do. He ties his own flies and he would love to fish every day if he could. He works with injured veterans in Project Healing Waters. He's been trying to teach me how to fly fish for years. It's not a talent of mine. I've figured that out. But I enjoy it. God gave Ray a gift, a talent to fly fish. He also gave Ray a talent and a gift to help others with that, with Project Healing Waters and injured veterans. We should use our gifts. And we should understand that God has given us gifts. And we should use them in a way that is faithful and can further the kingdom of God. You know, another thing we learn here is that we are all responsible for the gift that we are given, not to bury it in the ground. And not to be responsible or think we have to use a gift that we wish we were given or could have had. You see, Ray used the gift that he had. He shared that talent with others. He used it responsibly. All the while, as he's growing and being a fun-loving 18-year-old in college out in Utah now, God's not so demanding as to expect from us something that we feel we're supposed to have and are lacking. God has given us each a gift, an opportunity to learn about those special gifts that we have here today, and also how to use them responsibly. In the parable, Jesus spoke about rewards or punishments, depending on how we respond to our own gift and our own responsibilities. Basically, what he's saying is use our talents, use our gifts, and much will be given to us. Don't use them, and we lose everything. When I think about my nephew Ray, he left here, Northern Virginia, and he went out to Utah to college. He's fly fishing again. That talent of fly fishing and helping others has made him grow. But also, with that, God gifted him with another talent, a talent for photography. Now he is combining his love of outdoors, his love of photography, in remarkable ways, taking pictures and sharing what others are doing while he's out in the world that God created. He had one gift. He used it to further the kingdom. God gifted him with another gift. Our gifts are meant to be shared in ministry. Go out and share these gifts in the world. Once again, when we look at Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. Common good, to go out and share. And finally, we have this phrase that all of us have heard one time or another, use it or lose it. That servant with the one bag of silver, he didn't use it. He buried it. And what happened? It was taken away from him. It was taken away from him. You see, it's simple. It's not the one who does not return a whole lot. It's not the one that doesn't have a whole lot who's punished or who things are taken away. It's the one who simply will not try. The one who simply does not want to try to do better. Now, this parable is a great parable. Overriding this whole parable, though, is that certainty of the return of Christ. We see Christ in this whole parable. It's hard to miss it. You see, in this parable, we see the ascension of Christ, the church age, the return of Christ. You see, with the ascension, we see that when that master goes off for this long trip or goes away, leaving people behind to do many things. We see that church age because that master has been gone for a long time. And then we see the return when we read the master has come back to see what the servants have done. These principles keep us close. We keep these principles close as we grow and as we change over the years and as we examine our own gifts. Our gifts might be to preach, to teach, maybe to minister to others, to minister to children or older adults, to work for justice in an unjust world, to minister to the sick and the dying, to lead worship, to lead music, to lead in a mission field. The opportunities are endless as to what our gifts are. Whatever your gift or your talent is, don't hide it. Don't bury it. Let's be faithful with our gifts. Let's be faithful with our talents and use them. There's joys awaiting. There's joys awaiting for those who hear the Master's call, use that gift faithfully, and serve to the best of their ability. Because we want to remember to use that gift. Use it. Don't lose it. Today, as you were walking in, and today as we have done this, have brought this message to you, we ask that you think about the gifts that God has given you. We ask you to commit that gift to God in some way, to use it better, to further His kingdom, to further His world. Now, when you came in, each one of us was given a 3x5 card and a pencil. And as we sing the final song, as we hear the final song, I ask you to think about what your gift for ministry is, what you think your gift might be. Write it on this card. And as the music is playing, I ask you to bring it up to the front here. Place it in the bowl at the altar, at the foot of the cross. Place it there. And as we close the service after the song, we will lift these gifts and these talents to the Lord in prayer, and we will pray over them. And we'll sing our final hymn here.
Would you please find your bulletins and join me in the prayer on the back? Giver of life, bearer of pain, maker of love, affirming in your incarnation the goodness of the flesh, may the yearnings of our bodies be fulfilled in sacraments of love and our earthly embracings, foretaste of the pleasure shall be in the glory of the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you find your hymnal and turn to page 758, we have come together in worship. We have offered afresh and anew our gifts and our talents to Christ. And now a faithful response of God's people to witness our decision to follow Christ. Would you stand with us, please? And could we divide the congregation here in the middle and turn and face one another as we witness of our faith? We'll go right from page 758, right across the page to item 762, right into the ascendant. This, of course, would be the left side, your left. And this would be the right side. So let's start on 758 and right into 762. We follow Christ.
He says, take up your cross.
We follow Christ.
Who gives us Son of God.
We follow Christ.
Who summons us to new life.
The one who calls is